15, 16, 17, somewhere around there. Amen. Make it chapter 15. Matthew chapter 15. And we're going to look at verse number 22. We'll read, pray, and ask God for his help this morning. Matthew 15, verse 22. I'll just keep you just a few moments. We'll share a few thoughts with you. And I hope it'll encourage you, not only as mothers, but also as Christians, as believers. Once you get to this, all stand. That's Matthew 15 and verse number 22. The Bible says in verse number 22, the Bible says, and behold, I mean, he wants you to see something. A woman of Canaan came out of the same coast, the Bible says, and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me. O Lord, thou son of David, my daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. We'll stop there. We're going to talk this morning, a simple thought, a persistent mother. A persistent mother. Father, thank you, Lord, for persistent mothers. Father, thank you for those mothers who don't quit, they don't give in, they don't throw in the towel. They go the extra mile, not even the extra mile, but the extra several miles. They continue to go on for their children. They intercede for their children. And what I'm referring to, God, is those who intercede talking to you about their children. Asking you, God, for guidance and direction. Asking you, God, for help in the time of need. And I pray, God, as we go through this message this morning, I pray, God, to stir our hearts. I pray, God, to draw us a little closer. But more than that, Father, my desire, but then whatever you desire is the main thing. But my desire, Father, is each of us will become more persistent in our asking. Persistent in our praying. And I pray, God, that once we are persistent, then we'll watch the results that will take place as a result of our persistence. And for that, Father, we'll thank you. Help us. God, my speech, my mind, my actions, and all that I say that I do. I pray, God, to use my vessel for your honor, for your glory. And with that, Father, I personally shout hallelujah. Help us, Father, I beg you. And if there's one among us, as I say, born again, what a morning to receive Jesus as their personal Savior. Then let mama know, hey, I got saved today. For that, God will thank you. And then, God, if there's anything else, meet that need as well. For it's in your Son's name we pray. Not a weak Jesus, no sir, but mighty Jesus. Amen. Amen. May be seated. A persistent mother. That word persistent that we've chosen means persisting, especially in spite of opposition, in spite of obstacles, in spite of discouragement. When a person is persistent, that means it doesn't matter what might be in the way or what might be a seemingly a hindrance or a roadblock, but instead, my friends, that person finds a way to get around that which is trying to stop them from going forward. I wonder how many persistent Christians do we have this morning? I mean those who keep pushing in spite of what's happening around them. Because a lot of times, my dear friends, if we're not careful, we'll simply give up. We'll throw in the towel when it's not time to throw in the towel. What we need to be doing, my friends, is continuing to push forward. That's exactly what this mama did. She was persistent. She was determined. She was fixed on a goal, which is to get help for her daughter. That leaves the first thing we see. We see that this mother went to the right person. The Bible says, and behold, the woman of Canaan came out of the same coast. The Bible says, and cried unto him. Who? Verse 21. Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And the Bible says, behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him. When you and I have a problem, the right person to go to is Jesus. Now, a lot of times, the person we'll go to first and foremost is our friend. You know, that close friend, that one you've been known for a long time. They've got your back. But the first person we need to go to is Jesus Christ. And that's exactly what this mother did. The Bible says that she cried unto him. That word cried means to cry out. It means to shout. She wanted to be heard. And when you and I want to be heard, we'll shout it out. When's the last time we shout out to God, we cry out for God for something called, the Bible says here, mercy. That word mercy not only means compassion, but it also means this, to help one afflicted or seeking aid. And in her case, she was seeking aid, but also she was afflicted because someone that she loved and cared for was in trouble. And the person we've already read was her daughter. This was a mother that had a daughter, my friends. Someone that came out of her own loins. Someone, my friends, she had gave birth to that was in trouble. And what this mother did was not say, well, she's in trouble, so she's on her own. She made her bed so she can lie in it. You ever heard that before? You made the mess. You deal with the mess. Well, I'm glad my mama didn't say you in a mess and you deal with your mess. She took my mess to the master. Amen. And we'll tell you, my dear friends, that's the best person to take your mess to is the master, Jesus Christ. The Bible says that her daughter had a problem. The problem was this. The Bible says, she said, have mercy on me, O Lord, because it's affecting me. I'm my mama. Thou son of David. My daughter, my baby is grievously vexed. Oh my. With the devil. This devil had her vexed. This devil, the Bible says here, had a grievous. That word grievous means to be miserable. You ever had a child? Lower your hand. That was, you don't have problems right now. That was miserable. And as a mama, or as a parent, or as a person, you knew why they was miserable. But you dare not say, the devil got a hold of you. Demons have grabbed a hold of your hands. Demons have grabbed a hold of your mind. So I can't say that to him. Well, you can say it to him. Her daughter, my dear friends, was miserable. And the reason why she was miserable, because the devil had a hold of her life. Look what the Bible says right here. The Bible says, my friends, that she was vexed with the devil. Those words, vexed with the devil, mean this. To be under the power of a demon. To be under the power of a demon. And we know there's some people that are under the power of demons. Well, I don't believe in demons. Okay. You don't have to. Because they're still here. Believe it or not. The Bible says that when Satan was kicked out of heaven, he took a third of the angels with him, my dear friends. And those angels, my friends, are evil spirits that are under his power, under his reign. And these, because by the way, just for our information, the devil doesn't personally probably attack any of us. Because number one, the devil can't be everywhere at the same time. Okay, he's not omnipotent. He's not omniscient. What's the other one? He's not omnipresent. He's none of those things. But he's got demons. And they come by and be saying, girl, you know Randall, we know why he said that. He's trying to get under your skin. And Randall's sitting there, he's like, oh, you don't work over there. He don't know what's going on. What's wrong with her? And she's like, I know why you said that. And he's like, what are you talking about, woman? No, Randall. What are you talking about, woman? What are you talking about? She, no, you said that because of this. I have no idea what you're saying. What are you talking about? Could be that a demon got a hold of her ear. How you know when a demon get a hold of your ear? You be sitting there, and somebody's looking at you. I'm like, what's up with them? And they're looking at you, but they ain't looking at you. Y'all ever been staring off? Just staring off? I've done that before. I could be staring off. You know? And somebody, I may even think about there's some people there. I'm just staring off thinking, you know, doing this, I'd be oblivious. You know, but I would be down in Florida somewhere just chilling. You know? I mean, but they think something's going on. You know, I told you what happened before, but it's been several months now ago. It was last year when I was over that altar. And I was over at an altar, and I'm over in the produce session. You know, I'm minding my business, trying to get some salads and some stuff. Rachel, amen. I'm over there trying to get some salads and some stuff, you know. And then, the guy that's working there keep looking at me. I'm like, you know, what's up with this dude? Hey, you know, he's looking at me. Because every time I look over there, he looked and he didn't turn away. And I'm like, you know. So then he looked at me, and I looked at him. And he said, Brother Clement? I'm like, oh. I looked at him look in. He had shaved. You know who he was? The pastor down the street by the corner here, and went over the Assembly of God. What is that? Calvary Assembly of God Church. Was that the name of it? Yeah. I don't even remember his name. But anyhow, though, he passed around the corner down there. And there was him working over there. And he was looking at me trying to see, is that me? You know? And I'm looking at him going, what's your problem? I'm like, hey, brother, what's going on, man? Hey, God, we love, man. He had no idea about the whooping. I mean. But sometimes, my dear friends, we get to, I mean, the devil be telling you all kind of stuff. You know, I mean, you have to be careful. The Bible says right here, my dear friends, that she was vexed with the devil, that the demons had power over her life. And sometimes, my friends, we have enemy that grabs a hold of our young people. But how are we for a mama? They'll talk to Jesus about it. Hallelujah. The Bible goes on to show us, my dear friends, the silence that took place. Verse 23. But he answered her, not a word. Wait a minute. Ain't this Jesus, the Savior of the world? Yeah. The Bible says, my friends, he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she crieth after us. Now, I thought, Brother Bill, for a long time, man, they're pretty cold-hearted. Remember from them disciples? Send her away, you know. She cried after you. A little study would go a long way. As I read this, it says, send her away, for she cried after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto that lost sheep of the house of Israel. What's happening here? Well, let's look at this. The word send away means to free fully, to release, to relieve, to set free. In other words, they would say, help her. She's crying after you. Free her. Send her on her way. But then he answers them. He says this, my friends. He says, listen. He says, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And we know, my dear friends, she had addressed him. Now remember, she's not an Israelite. Okay? She's from Canaan. And she had addressed him as the what? As the son of David. As the Lord. But listen, she could not address him as the son of David. She was not an Israelite. So she did not address him the proper way. But he says, I've come for Israel right now. Right now, his main focus, my friends, was Israel itself. And the Bible says, the disciples said, hey, free her, help her. But now watch this. Then she came and did something. She complained. What's up with you? Why you won't help me? I ain't good enough for you to help me. That's what she said. The Bible says she worshipped him. What we see, my friends, here, my friends, we see the silence, but now we see her persisting the right way. The right way. She worshipped him. And then, my friends, as she worshipped him, she said this. She said, Lord, help me. Help me. What my daughter is doing is not only affecting her, but it's affecting me. By helping her will also help me. Lord, help me. I come and I worship you. Help me. But look how he responds. Then the Bible says, he answered and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. I'm like, Lord, that's rough. Call the woman a dog. But like I said, a little study goes a long way. That word dog here means a puppy or a little dog. A puppy or a little dog. What do children do sometimes with their food when there's a puppy around? They feed it to the little puppy, the little dog. They'd be sitting there going, this is really good. And they'd be feeding the puppy. It says right here, my dear friends. She goes on, she says, truth. You're correct, Lord. Yet, the dogs, the puppies, the little dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from the master's table. You're correct. But they eat those crumbs. You might give them the whole plate. But them crumbs that do fall, them puppies will come by. Bobby. Remember Bobby? Christian's dog, Bobby. She'd beg. She'd come, she'd look at you while you eat. I said, Bobby, look at me. So you know what Bobby would do? So then Bobby would turn her head like this. And then she'd still look at me like that. I said, Bobby, I see you looking at me. And you know what she's saying to me? Just a crumb. Just a crumb. And bam, if a crumb hit that floor, now, around me, if the crumb hit that floor, she ain't gonna come right at it. She waits till I move, then she'd be down there, and she'd be, or when she wants something, Christian would have a little treat or something, and she'd step on her hind feet, hind leg, whatever you call it, and she'd go like that. And she'd stay there a long time. She'd go, look at that over there. She's like, I bet she said to herself, would y'all please give me that treat? Okay, just give me that treat. It's all I want, that treat. This woman says this, Lord, you're correct. But the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. The one who's in charge, the one who's in control. Listen, if you just give me a crumb, I'll be satisfied. She was persistent. She did not say, you know what? Because I'm not an Israelite, I'm going to go back to the house. No, she had a daughter that had been controlled by the enemy, my friend. And she was persistent to get some help for her child. Then the Bible says this. Verse 28. We see her agreement, verse 26 and 7. And we see her reward, verse 28. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great, not mine, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee, even as thou wilt, as you desire. Says, woman, you've got great faith. And the reason why you got great faith is because you're persistent. Persistent. A mama that's persistent the right way. A mama that comes to the right person to get the help for her daughter. She can go to all kinds of things. Well, I'm going to put them in here. And I'm going to put them in this activity. And put them, you know, one of the greatest things you can do is bring your child to the house of God. When these young children are coming and they're singing in the choir. See, one day they're going to be singing in the adult choir. See, some of them going to be workers in the nursery. Some of them are going to be Sunday school teachers. But you know what? If they never come to the house of God, how are they going to know that? When we have prayer and it's time to pray, it's amazing how these young children will get up and come to the altars. And there might be some people say, well, they don't make me go down to the altar. They just got there. Look at them. They're just playing. I see them now and they're going. But at least they're coming. And by the way, my friends, as they become teenagers and as they become adults, they will be afraid to come down to an old-fashioned altar and talk to a holy God and say, God, I need me some help. Woo! Hallelujah. But it starts out right here. I'm all for sports. My kids, Christian, she played volleyball, basketball, and soccer. DJ played football, basketball, and baseball. But they also knew the number one, number uno thing was to be in the house of God. You said, you was a preacher. No, I wasn't. I didn't get right with God, so I preached. Huh? I was a layperson. But I also knew this. I want them to know what's the most important thing. I'm all for education. Especially when it comes here. Huh? When I look and I see the names on the boards in the Sunday school classes, and I see all the kids' names, and they're telling me, preacher, we're getting crowded in the Sunday school class. I mean, we need more chair. We need a bigger room. I'm like, oh, you know, but I'm like, yeah, that's good. But that means some mamas and some daddies are bringing their children to Sunday school to learn about Jesus. What are you saying, preacher? Just like this mother, she was persistent. My child needs help, and the right help is God, is Jesus. He's the only one that can help her and change her life. Why are we taking our children all the way down to the Carolina Youth Camp? several hundred miles away. Because we heard that the Master walks through there. We heard, my dear friends, that the Master comes by and he taps on young people's hearts. He taps on their souls and he draws them a little closer. Some get saved, some get called, and some have their life changed forevermore. Woo! Glory! Some say, but it costs. Yeah. That's why we're getting the money for it. But the cost is worth it. Because if it means that the young people we take aren't going to get on crack, if it means that the young people we take, my dear friends, aren't going to be consumed with alcohol, if it means they're not going to join a gang, if it means they're not going to be promiscuous, if it means, my friends, they're going to be better children for their parents, hey, it's worth it! It's worth every single penny that's given! Hallelujah! What are you saying, preacher? It's worth it. My mom and dad took us to church. It was not an option. We didn't take a vote. Are we going this morning for all in favor? All who ain't in favor? Are you in favor of getting your behind whipped? Not in favor. What are you saying? It's because of that, seriously. It's because of that. When I was in Georgia, sitting there in that chair, after my wife had kicked over that half can of beer and said, why are you leaving those half cans of beer laying around the house? And I said, no, I can't drink a whole one like I used to. And I said to myself, I got to get back in church. Key word, get back. Not get started. Get back. I knew if I could just get to the church. And the first day I tried to go to that church, I remember pulling up my friends in that parking lot. And I remember seeing all the people dressed all nice. And everyone dressed nice. But, you know, I seen all how they were dressed, how I was dressed. And I drove around that church three times. Sweating. I couldn't go in. Just sweating. That knew if he'd get in there. And when I finally did get in the church and got in, I walked through them doors, Brother Bill, basically. And I come in there with that Chicago attitude and strut and all that kind of stuff. And I sat down on this side of the aisle and a seat over here. And that man of God got to preaching. Y'all have heard the story many times. But man, when that came back to the evening service, left that trembling, but came back to the evening service, they gave the invitation. It was like a magnet. Like a magnet. That was just drawing me. He persisted. He won't give up. It was drawing me. I couldn't help but come up to the front. When I came up to that front, and I got on my knees, and I began to cry and weep. Just, I don't even know what I said. But I was just talking to God, and I knew I needed that help. And when I got up off my knees, it's like my whole world had been changed. It was wonderful. I mean, you know the one first thing that I did? I called my mama, I called my daddy, I called my sister, I called my grandmama. I made phone calls. And they may not even realize this. But when I called them, I was telling them how I got my life changed. And y'all probably remember this. I said, how was it when you got saved? I remember each one telling me their experience. Ain't it funny? All of a sudden, I got concerned about other people. But that's what happens when your life gets changed. You want somebody else's to get changed. You want somebody else to get some help. But my dear friends, it all started right here with this mother crying out on her child's behalf. It also started with a parent that loved me and my siblings that was crying out on our behalf. My dear friends, we need more persistent mothers crying out to a holy God on behalf of their children, saying, God, have mercy, mercy, my child needs your touch. Woo! Hallelujah. And what happened? The Bible tells us what happened. By the way, the door wasn't even there. She wasn't even there. The Bible says, verse 28, we done. Then Jesus answered and said, unto her, woman, great is thy faith. I ain't talking about your daughter. Be unto thee even as thou wilt. And the Bible says, and her daughter was made whole from that very hour. She was cured. She was healed. She was brought about with salvation, deliverance. It never said what she wanted. Think about what I'm saying. It does say what the mother wanted. J. Harold Smith. I'm done. J. Harold Smith was drunk. He was an alcoholic. He was mean, hateful. But he had a sister that loved God, and she loved J. Harold Smith. And she'd pray for her brother. She'd pray for him. And one day, one night, he told her, I can outdrink your prayers. Went down there to the place where they got drunk at. Came back to the house. His sister was in the bedroom on her knees praying. God save my brother. Save J. Harold. Save him. He said he left and went back and drunk more. Came back to the house. She was still praying. He left and went back. By that time, the sun was coming up, and he knew that her husband was getting ready to go to work, and she always cooked breakfast for him. He said he knew that she had to stop praying because she was going to have to fix breakfast for him. He said he came back to the house, walked in there, and there was her husband cooking his own breakfast. Glory to God! Yeah. And his sister was crying out to God on his behalf. And he said before he knew it, he came in that room where she was at. He got on his knees. He surrendered his life to Jesus. And Jesus used him to help them all over this country. Why? Because somebody was persistent on his behalf. Woo! We need more persistent, not only mothers, we need more persistent sisters. We need more persistent brothers, more persistent fathers, more persistent relatives, aunts and uncles, grandmothers and grandfathers, people in general, more persistent in praying for others' deliverance. God healed her daughter. He said, because your faith was great. I got two questions, we're done. First question is this. What's that, preacher? What problem are you facing today? What problem are you facing today? The second question is this. This is very important. I ain't talking to nobody else, not your neighbor and all that stuff. But how persistent are you really? How persistent are you really? The last was a statement. Let's cry out to Jesus. Father, thank you for a persistent mother. Thank you, Lord, for listening ears this morning. And Father, there's some folks that are here this morning that have someone that they love and care for. Someone that they know that's being controlled by the enemy. And perhaps they want to come and pray for that individual. I pray, God, they come and talk to you on their behalf this morning. Perhaps, God, they've had some other problem that they're facing. And they want to talk to you about that this morning. They may say, no, I prayed many times about this situation. Well, this woman was persistent. Father, I pray that you help each of us be persistent in our prayers. Because that's what she prayed. She asked him for help. I pray, God, we be persistent in our asking. Perhaps, God, some folks want to talk to you about other matters, other situations. They have nothing to do with this message. But, God, they felt the tug and the nudge of the Holy Spirit. And they will come talk to you this morning. I pray, God, they simply do this. Come and talk to you. Or perhaps come and listen to what you have to say to them. If there's one among us who's not saved, blood-bought, going to heaven, they're not sure they're going to heaven, but they want to know. I pray, God, they won't hesitate this morning. But come on down that aisle. Get right down on their knees. If they can't kneel, stand. If they want to talk to me, well, they can talk to me. I can show them. I can pray with them. If there's other folks here, they will pray with them. They will talk with them. But I want them to leave here with that thing settled today. What a great day to get it settled on Mother's Day. Father, perhaps there's some other reasons. Folks need to come. They will maybe thank you. I don't know. I don't know. But I pray, God, they simply do this. Come. Help us. We've heard the songs. We've heard the sermon. Now it's time to respond. For your son's name we pray. Jesus. Amen. Amen. Let's all stand.